Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 25th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. It's the 10th day of action at the African Nations Championship, or CHAN, in Cameroon. Our VOA football fans will remember CHAN is for players who ply their trade in their domestic leagues. Later Monday, we'll find out the two teams advancing to the quarterfinals from CHAN Group B. Libya will play Congo Brazzaville in Douala, Cameroon, and Niger is matched against the Democratic Republic of Congo in Yaoundé, Cameroon. The DR Congo currently leads this group with 4 points from two matches, followed by Libya and Niger with two each, and Congo Brazzaville with 1 point. On Sunday, Mali and host Cameroon advance to the CHAN quarterfinals, as we hear now from Samson Omale.
Host Cameroon reached the quarterfinals of the Total African Nations Championship after playing out a 0-0 draw with Burkina Faso on Sunday. The result of the Group A clash at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé means the Stallions crashed out of the competition as they finished third in the group. Mali finished top of the group with 7 points after defeating Zimbabwe 1-0 in the group's other game played at the Japoma Stadium in Douala, also on Sunday. Cameroon finished second with 5 points. Burkina Faso was third with 4 points, while Zimbabwe ended bottom of the group with no points. Zimbabwe captain Sibanda Ariel says despite their exit from the tournament, they weren't a chance to add to the numbers.
We didn't come here maybe to add numbers, but we came here to compete also. We are still competing. We haven't lost hope because, you know, the nation is looking at us. We have to get something and make them. For us to go home, we have to go with something so that the nation can be proud of us.
Zimbabwe coach Vaska Logarochik blamed their exit on lack of adequate time to prepare as a result of COVID-19 pandemic restrictions back in Zimbabwe.
Our government gave us green light to play football somewhere in the December. And then we had only half of my players, we had 10 training sessions. Less of half players, we have less than 5 training sessions. That means most of us, we played, we have about average 7 training sessions, including games, and we came under such a big competition like this.
Mali and Cameroon will advance from Group A, but will have to wait for the outcome of Monday's Group B matches to know their opponents in the last 8 of the tournament, exclusively designed for home-based players. In all the matches played this past weekend, Zambia needed a late Spencer Sauto goal to end a 1-1 draw against Guinea in Group D on Saturday. The result means both Zambia and Guinea maintain their places at the top of the group with 4 points apiece, having won their opening matches last Tuesday. Milutin Sredojevic is the Zambian national football coach.
That game could go either way. And exactly the way game is, so funny, tricky, unpredictable.
Zambia will play Namibia in their final group game at the Limbe Stadium on Wednesday, while Guinea will travel to the Stade de la Unification in Douala to face Tanzania in the matches that will be played simultaneously. Staying with the CHAN tournament, 3 women referees created history on Saturday at the African Nations Championship. Ethiopian referee Lydia Tafese and her assistant Malawian Benatida Kwibira and Nigerian Mimsin Iyohe all became the first women to officiate a match at the Senior CAF Male Tournament. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho Sredojevic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. The CHAN tournament kicked off in Yaoundé, where FIFA president Gianni Infantino was in attendance for Cameroon's 1-0 victory against Zimbabwe in the opening match.
I'm very happy to be in
international tournament of the year. First national team game. Beautiful opening ceremony today in Yaoundé, in a stadium which was not full because of COVID restrictions, but still 25% of capacity was there. So it gave it a nice ambience, a nice atmosphere. It was very, very emotional to witness the ceremony celebrating Africa. And it's important to show to the world that we can organize such games in Cameroon, in Africa, to give hope.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking at the CHAN tournament in Cameroon. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike, also commended the CHAN organizers for holding the year's first international tournament under COVID-19 restrictions.
Well, I think it's a good thing that the tournament has commenced in Cameroon, the sixth edition of the CHAN. And, when you look at back at the circumstances that has occurred last year, which is the pandemic that no one was expecting, that has hurt all activities relating to football. And at the end of the day, CAF, with the host country, which is Cameroon, were able to host this edition of sixth of the CHAN in the African football. I think it's a great one. And we must be able to commend CAF for their effort for ensuring that this tournament, take place in Cameroon. And also, we must also thank the host country for providing the solution and making it possible for the championship to take place in Cameroon. So it's a good one, and I hope people will be able to enjoy the championship. And I hope also that those that are participating can be able to put up a good performance to raise up the bar and to give more credibility to African competition.
The African Nations Football Tournament is meant for African players who ply their trade at home. Do you think it has assisted domestic African players raise their profiles?
Well, it's a good one that the tournament itself is a kind of platform for the players that are playing in Africa, that are playing in their domestic league. It's a good one. Not everyone will be privileged to be involved in the main AFCON. But I think CAF also came up with this idea to continue to encourage the players that are playing in their domestic league and creating also what is called today CHAN for them to also be in a position to continue to grow and develop. And I really commend CAF for that. And I think it's a very good thing for the players. The CAF in question is part of the development for the players playing in the domestic league. But of course, the development of the players has to come from their various league, the organization of their league, the level of competitiveness in the league. I think this will really help the players in terms of their developing. And then having the privilege to participate in the CHAN, I think it's also a step for them to really test themselves. It's a kind of when you go to school, you attend classes, and at the end of the day come exams, then you have to sit down to write the exam. I think it's still the same thing. So the league and the players has to develop from their various domestic league. And then the tournament, which is the CHAN, we afford them the opportunity to know their capacity, to know how far they have gone in their development. And it's something worth and something encouraging.
What suggestions do you have for the Confederation of African Football to make the CHAN tournament lucrative and popular?
My suggestion for CAF is that, they have to be open for continuous diversity in terms of the growth of the tournament and in terms of our football in Africa. They must have that willingness of growing. They must have that willingness of, taking our football, our tournament to the level that we all are expecting. And I know CAF has been doing a lot, seeing how our football in Africa can develop. And I think we must commend them for that, and we must congratulate them. And we shouldn't forget that there is always room for development, there is always room for improvement. So it's up to us as a continent to continue to accept the changes that the game itself is bringing all over the world. So it's our responsibility to adapt our players, it's our responsibility to adapt our competition, it's our responsibility to embrace the challenges and the whole team that is surrounded in the game for us to be in a position to compete with the rest of the world. But I think CAF is doing the best they can, and I commend them and I thank them for that.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the former head coach of Tanzania's national men's team. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Santander, Spain.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
Prince Nesta joins us now with a look at the weekend European club football highlights. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Egyptian talisman Mo Salah ended Liverpool's barren run in front of goal, but it wasn't enough, as Manchester United emerged as 3-2 victors to knock the Reds out of the FA Cup. Mason Greenwood leveled before halftime after Salah had scored in the 18th minute, and Marcus Rashford put United in front 3 minutes after the break, only for the 2017 and 2018 African Player of the Year to make it 2-2 just before the hour mark. Bruno Fernandes followed his introduction from the bench to score the winner with a curling 20-yard free kick with 12 minutes to go. Here's Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer take on the match.
We've found a way that we believe in, the players believe in, and we're getting stronger and stronger. Mentality to come back, being 1-0 down, we've shown that so many times this season. And I feel physically as well, we're stronger and stronger, and we last the games much more.
That was Manchester United's manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer hailing his team after knocking out Liverpool in the FA Cup. It was the first time since March 2020 that Solskjaer's team have beaten one of England's established Big Six, an important hurdle to overcome ahead of the second half of the league season, during which they will play away at City, Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal. A first half Gabriel own goal condemned Arsenal to a 1-0 defeat to Southampton in the fourth round of the competition, and it means their only chance of silverware this season is in the Europa League, where they face a last 32 tie against Benfica next month. Arsenal were without Gabon Dengeman, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, while another informed English player of Nigerian descent, Bukayo Saka, was only introduced in the second half. This was the third time in the past four seasons that Arsenal have failed to make it to the fifth round of the FA Cup. Under fire, Frank Lampard admitted he was grateful to receive the backing of Chelsea fans after English striker of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham's hat-trick sealed a 3-1 win against Luton in the FA Cup fourth round on Sunday.
Yeah, of course, I wanted the result today because it just... is a nice air of positivity around the club and for the players to get into the next round. We're now in two cup competitions, Champions League next round, the FA Cup, and we want to win more points in the league. That's where we're at.
In just his second season in charge at Chelsea, Lampard is fighting to avoid the sack after a wretched run in the Premier League and an embarrassing FA Cup exit against Championship opposition would have pushed Lampard closer to facing the axe. Manchester City survived an almighty scare from League Two side Cheltenham in the FA Cup fourth round, as Pep Guardiola's side erased an 80th minute deficit by scoring three times in the final 13 minutes to advance to the fifth round. It was 1-0 with fewer than 10 minutes left to play, before Phil Foden, Gabriel Jesus and Ferran Torres restored a semblance of order with goals in the 81st, 84th and 93rd minutes respectively. City have now won 10 consecutive games in all competitions for the first time since a run of 11 from August to October 2017. Premier League high flyers Leicester City also had to come from behind to secure a 3-1 victory and avoid FA Cup upset at Championship promotion hopefuls Brentford. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored twice, with Brazilian striker Neymar and Mauro Icardi also on target, as Paris Saint-Germain cruised to a 4-0 victory against 10-man Montpellier. The win put PSG. Welcome coach Mauricio Pochettino back on the bench after he was forced to spend a week in isolation following a positive COVID-19 test. At the top of the table on 45 points from 21 games. Jonathan David scored the only goal of the game as Lille claimed an impressive 1-0 win away to Rennes on Sunday. The result is a major blow to Rennes' prospect of competing for a second straight top three finish and a return to the UEFA Champions League next season. In contrast, Lille remain right in the title race, with only goal difference separating them and PSG at the summit. Zimbabwean hitman Tino Kadewere and Marcelo each scored twice, while Dutch winger of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay added another to keep Lyon in touch with French league spectators in a 5-0 derby thumping of a Saint-Etienne side, missing a host of players to the coronavirus. Monaco also came from behind to claim a comprehensive 3-1 home victory against Marseille and consolidate fourth place in the French league. The result put Monaco on 39 points from 21 games. French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored twice, and Eden Hazard picked up a rare goal as Real Madrid beat Alaves 4-1 in handy fashion in La Liga. Real, who are without manager Zinedine Zidane due to COVID, are now within 7 points of league leaders and City rivals Atletico Madrid, who came from behind to beat Valencia 3-1. Suarez finished off a flowing move that had started almost on Atletico's goal line, before substitute Angel Correa kept another slick string of passes to end Valencia's resistance. The visitors had taken an early lead in stunning fashion. Uros Rakic curling into the top corner from 35 yards, but Joao Felix equalized to prompt an Atletico comeback. Frankie de Jong scored a goal and created another, as Barcelona beat Elche 2-0 to extend the unbeaten run in La Liga to 9 games. De Jong opened the scoring just before halftime with a tap-in on the line, and then set up substitute Rico Puig to head home the second in the 89th minute. Ronald Koeman's side, who were missing the suspended 6-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi, returned to third in the table with the win, 10 points behind leaders Atletico Madrid, who have a game in hand. And finally, moving on to the Italian league, Juventus got their Serie A title defense back on track with a 2-0 home win over Bologna that moved Andrea Pirlo's side into the top four. Anthamelo scored his first goal for the Turin club in the first half with a deflected strike, and the American midfielder Winston McKinney headed home the second and 71 minutes. Inter Milan missed out on the chance to go top in Serie A as coach Antonio Conte was sent off for dissent in a 0-0 draw at Stragglers Udinese, while Atalanta were their entertaining best as they beat AC Milan 3-0 at San Siro to open up the Serie A title race. Cristian Romero, Josep Ilicic and Duvan Zapata got the goals as the Bergamo outfit picked up all 3 points to move to fourth in the table. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks for another spicy package, Prince. Joining us now with more football news is Douglas Mpuga.
Football governing body FIFA has said players who compete in Europe Super League will be barred from international competitions. FIFA and the 6 confederations say that such a competition would not be recognized. FIFA said in a statement, any club or player involved in a closed European Super League would, as a consequence, not be allowed to participate in any competitions organized by FIFA or their respective confederations. FIFA also stated that its Club World Cup and the Confederation's respective tournaments were the only club competitions recognized. FIFA plans to expand its Club World Cup to include 24 teams from the 6 confederations. The forthcoming event in Qatar, postponed from 2020, will feature 6 teams. Meanwhile, FIFA President Gianni Infantino has urged officials of Cameroon's Football Federation to respect the decision of the Court of Arbitration for Sports annulling elections held in 2018. On January 15th, the court cancelled those polls which saw Sidon Mbombo Njoya voted in as president, after several amateur clubs challenged the procedure, which they said was flawed. The ruling, which coincided with the start of the 2020 African Nations Championship, CHAN, instead of imposing a new normalization committee to run the Cameroonian Federation, has recommended that the current board prepares for new elections. It is the second time in recent years that elections at Cameroon's Football Federation have been declared void. In 2017, the polls that had seen Tombi Aroko Siddiqui voted in as president were annulled by the Cameroon National Sports and Olympic Committee's arbitration chamber. And the World Athletics president has said he remains confident the Olympics and Paralympics will take place despite reports suggesting they would be cancelled. Lord Koh said the rescheduled Tokyo Games may have to be held behind closed doors if they are to go ahead in Japan this year.
Everybody wants, you know, stadiums full of noisy, passionate people. The athletes want, or would love to have, you know, to feel that, you know, they're, wherever they come from, they're competing in front of an element of a home crowd. All that's, I remember, you know, those were the key, you know, the key concepts that I think we nailed very well in London. But if the games have to take place without crowds, or certainly with fewer people in the stadium, I think the athletes, I think the world of sport accepts that now. I think, you know, do bear in mind that the vast, vast majority of people watching a games are not watching in the stadium. They are watching at home. They are following on any number of platforms. And I think the games can maintain its spirit. And I hope it does, because I do genuinely think that it's a really important part of returning to some level of normalcy with an optimistic global outlook.
Koh, who headed the London 2012 Organizing Committee and is also an International Olympic Committee member, added that in the event of a cancellation, it was not a realistic solution to push back Paris 2024 and Los Angeles 2028 in order for Tokyo to host the Olympics in 3 years' time. Last year, organizers decided to postpone the 2020 Games for a year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But doubts over whether they would happen at all increased in recent weeks, following a rise in cases in some countries, including Japan, where a state of emergency was declared in Tokyo.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In American-style football, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will host the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 55 on February 7th in Tampa, Florida. The Buccaneers beat the host Green Bay Packers on Sunday in the NFC title game, while the Chiefs defeated the visiting Buffalo Bills in the AFC title game. We have reports on both games. First, here's the AP's Mark Daniels on Tampa Bay's victory.
After winning 6 Super Bowls in 20 years with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady moved south to Tampa and will now lead the Buccaneers to Super Bowl 55 on their home field. Brady and the Bucs upset the Packers 31-26 in the NFC title game at Lambeau.
You know, made the decision and, you know, love coming to work every day with this group of guys, and it worked really hard to get to this point. It's a tough game. We've had a few tough games in a row. And the next one will be really tough, too. But we know what we're playing for.
Brady's touchdown passes at the end of the first half and early in the third quarter build a 28-10 lead. He survived 3 interceptions as Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to within 5. But the Bucs were able to kill the final 2 minutes and advance to the first home field Super Bowl in NFL history. Mark Daniels, Green Bay.
Thanks, Mark. Now here's the AP's Greg Eklund on Kansas City advancing once again to the Super Bowl.
The Kansas City Chiefs are bidding to become the first NFL team to win back-to-back Super Bowls since New England. after they disposed of Buffalo in the AFC Championship game 38-24. Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes threw for 325 yards and three touchdowns.
The job's not finished. When we went into the season, we weren't talking about going to the Super Bowl. We were talking about winning it again, and we're trying to run it back, and we mean that, and I'm excited for the opportunity to go out there and play against a great football team and try to do that.
After spotting the Bills a 9-0 first quarter lead, the Chiefs took command with 21 points in the second quarter. The Chiefs will play Tampa Bay in Super Bowl 55. Greg Eklund, Kansas City.
Thanks, Greg. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers baseball great Hank Aaron, who died January 22nd at age 86. The AP's Tim McGuire reports.
Baseball and the nation mourn the loss of Hall of Famer Henry Aaron. On a chilly April evening more than 40 years ago. Atlanta Braves star Hank Aaron passed Babe Ruth to become baseball's all-time home run leader. He closed his Hall of Fame career with 755.
I think some players need to understand that they're never going to hit 50 home runs or 45 home runs. They got to learn how to hit the ball to the opposite field and do the little things that help their ball club win championships.
Atlanta resident Ad Seymour visited the site of Aaron's historic home run, now just the concrete left field wall of demolished Atlanta Fulton County Stadium with the 715 sign attached. Seymour tells WSB he clearly remembers that blast.
I was 7 years old when he hit 715, watching with my grandfather, and it was one of the biggest sports moments of my life.
And while Aaron lived a long, eventful, meaningful life, Seymour says it wasn't long enough.
We need guys like Hank Aaron around.
I'm Tim McGuire.
With more on the late, great Hank Aaron, here's the AP's Sagar Magani.
In the all-time alphabetical roll call, Henry Louis Aaron's name comes up first. It also shows up at or near the top of most major statistical categories. Hammering Hank's 755 home runs pushed Babe Ruth out of the top power spot. Aaron also is the all-time leader in RBIs, total bases, and extra base hits.
My base stealing percentages were very, very good, second to nobody's, you know. I'm very happy with the fact that I was able to fill my position with anybody else in the league. I'm very happy that my slugging percentages were great. And the one thing I think that I'm even more proud of is the fact that there's not one time that I struck out 100 times in one season.
His pursuit of Ruth's home run record drew out the worst in society. He saved boxes of racist hate mail from people who did not want a black man to beat the Babe's record.
By steadily pursuing his calling in the face of unreasoning hatred, Hank Aaron has proven himself a great human being, as well as a great athlete.
Aaron went on to become one of baseball's highest-ranking executives, serving in the Atlanta Braves front office. I'm Sagar Magani.
We heard from former U.S. President George W. Bush at the end of Sagar's report. He presented Hank Aaron with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian award, here in Washington in 2002. Among his other awards, in 1999, Major League Baseball created the Hank Aaron Award to commemorate the 25th anniversary of Aaron surpassing Babe Ruth's career home run mark of 714 home runs and to honor Hank Aaron's contributions to baseball. The award is given annually to the baseball hitters voted the most effective in each respective league. Baseball is also a very popular sport in Japan, and the Japanese are certainly well aware of Hank Aaron. 5 years ago, Aaron received the Order of the Rising Sun, gold rays with rosette from Akihito, who reigned as the 125th Emperor of Japan. There are also several statues of Hank Aaron here in the United States. One stands outside American Family Field in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee is where Hank Aaron began his Major League Baseball career in 1954. And that wraps up the January 25th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.